Welcome to the Rabbi Greenberg Show, the podcast that brings Jewish knowledge to you.
There's something about the present era that we're in, and that is about the broken relationships that are so common. One cannot know for sure if broken relationships are more a phenomenon of the modern age, but something tells me that our society is preoccupied with relationships, and it's because they're not really healthy. We have such a breakdown of relationships in all different levels, in all different spheres, in all different communities. And the question that begs to be asked is, why now? And what do we do about it, which is even more important to answer. And I think that the answer to these questions can be found in this week's Torah portion. It's last week and this week are both about the phenomenon of tzaraat, of a skin disease that a person would break out with certain skin lesions. That person would be considered to be ritually unclean and would be quarantined. And then when they are cured from this malady, they would then go through a ritual purification process. What was the cause of this illness? This is not a common illness. It's not leprosy, as is often identified, but it's not leprosy. It's a skin disease, and one has to be quarantined, not because it's contagious, but because it's a punishment of sort for a person who is guilty of the abuse of the gift of speech. Specifically, if a person would speak lashon hara, evil, slander of another, and it was not warranted based on Jewish law. Of course, if a person has to save someone's life by telling you that this person has ill designs against you, of course, to protect someone's life and well-being, that's not a problem. But when lashon hara is just gossip, slander, that is a serious breach of Jewish morals. And the punishment would be tzaraat. The person would break out with a skin disease and would be forced to be quarantined and isolated from the rest of society, which is a measure-for-measure punishment, because you spoke ill of others, and therefore you try to create division amongst people, getting that person, the victim of your tongue-lashing, to be ostracized by others and therefore isolated. Well, your punishment was that you would be isolated for a short period of time until you learned your lesson. So the whole phenomenon of tzaraat and the affected the metzora, the person who had this disease, and the isolation that ensued is a model for the breakdown of relationships. And therefore, we can glean some useful information about why, number one, there was a breakdown of relationships and how to deal with it. So the first thing that is important for us to know is that this illness, this affliction, was not an affliction that exists today in the physical sense of the word, and it only existed in times when people were in a high spiritual level. For example, in the Torah, we know that Moses was afflicted briefly with tzaraat. Moses, the holiest and greatest of all human beings. Then we find that Miriam, Moses' sister, one of the greatest human beings and holiest people that ever lived, she was afflicted for a whole week. So we see that tzaraat is something that afflicts very great and holy people. What is the significance of that? In Hasidic thought, we're told that tzaraat is actually a very powerful spiritual force that the person is experiencing. But because they don't have the means to ground that force, it short circuits their system, so to speak, and they break out with this type of illness. What does that mean? So in order to understand that, we have to go into some of the basic teachings of Kabbalah. We know that God created this universe, this physical world, but he didn't create it just by saying, let there be a universe. There is a whole hierarchy of spiritual levels that exist that are the means through which God channels his energy to this world in which we inhabit, the physical world. So for the physical world, there are four spiritual worlds above the physical world that channel divine energy in a gradual, incremental way. The highest world has the most powerful surge of energy. The next world has less. The third world even less. The fourth world even less. And then it reaches our physical world in a very concealed, in a very filtered, a very limited way. However, above and beyond the four worlds, there's another world called the world of Tohu, the world of chaos. The four worlds represent the world of Tikkun, of correction. So let me explain what's the difference between Tohu and Tikkun. Tohu, which means chaos, is a world, a dimension, a spiritual dimension, which is far more powerful than Tikkun, than the lower four worlds. Tohu is so powerful in terms of the light, the energy that is generated, but it has very small, limited kalim, vessels. In Hebrew, the term is orot merubin, abundant lights, with kalim muatin, but very small or limited vessels. It's like trying to generate large amount of electricity through an instrument that is not capable of receiving that. It'll short circuit. That's what the world of Tohu is. The world of Tohu is incredibly powerful energy, but it doesn't have the vessels and the instruments to contain that energy, and therefore the instrument shatters. And a person who has that receptivity to the world of chaos is a chaotic person, a person who has tremendous amount of emotion, of feeling, of drive, a person who wants to create revolutions, but doesn't know how to ground those feelings, and therefore they end up being very destructive. Another thing about the world of Tohu, number one, that its energy is too powerful for the vessels. Another characteristic of Tohu is that it's monolithic. It has one color. In other words, it either comes out in a mode of chesed, let's say. You're a person who's just filled with kindness, unlimited, unrestricted kindness. You have no way of restricting your kindness, overwhelming kindness. That sounds like a good thing, and part of it is good, but it could be very destructive. If, let's say, a drug addict asks you for money to buy drugs and you can't say no, you're harming that person. But because you're a Tohu person, a person of chaos, you cannot balance that with gvura, which is strength or discipline, judgment. Then there's the person who's very judgmental, who's very much a fanatic in judging people's behavior and demanding fidelity to the truth and fidelity to the highest standards of Torah. That's a good thing in one sense, but it's also a negative because you just crush everyone who doesn't fit into your righteous model. That's the type of person that is endowed with a soul that channels the light from Tohu. Number one, it's overwhelming power. Number two, it's not balanced. You see, when you have this very great power of chesed, of kindness, and you can balance it with a great power of gvura, that will temper it, that will attenuate it. But if you don't have the means to balance because each side is too powerful, then you're going to have explosion. You're going to have chaos. And that leads to a third point. You can't get along with other people, and that's where we go back to relationships. Because you're so suffused with energy, with light, with power, with determination at all costs, and anyone who gets in your way is going to get in your way and you can't tolerate it, it's just going to create friction between one person and another. Conversely, the world of Tikkun is a world where there's very minimal light or reduced light, but kelim merubin, a lot of vessels. It's very well grounded. So the person of Tikkun, which means correction because you're correcting the imbalances of Tohu, of the world of chaos, the world of Tikkun is a world in which you have limited energy You're not going to be a revolutionary. You're not going to try to save the whole world. You're not going to fight everything and everyone. You're going to do everything in a measured way, doing everything right and everything done beautifully. No complaints about this person. And because you don't have that powerful surge of energy of the world of Tohu, you're able to fuse and balance and synthesize the different emotional traits that you have. You could synthesize your chesed, your kindness, with your gevura, with your judgment, and all the other traits that we have in our personality. And because of that, you know how to get along with others. Your relationships are very, very positive. We have examples of a tohu personality. Two examples, we just read about it recently in the Torah, about the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were very holy people. But what did they want? They brought an unauthorized offering the day that the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary in the desert, was to be dedicated. And because it was unauthorized, a fire came from heaven and zapped them and destroyed them and killed them. This was a major tragedy. What was their sin? And there are many different explanations what exactly they did wrong. But the Torah says it was an unauthorized offering. What it really means, the Or HaChaim, the great Sephardic master who lived about 250 years ago, explains that they were not punished by this fire coming from heaven. That's exactly what they wanted. Their souls were on fire. They wanted to get close to God, and they had no limits. Their souls were from the world of Tohu, the world of chaos. They had this light, this energy, this power, this zeal, but they had nothing to contain it, nothing to modify it, nothing to temper it. And therefore, their souls left their bodies, which is really what their soul's objective was in the first place. Their soul could not be contained by a body, by a vessel. Their souls were free to escape this world. So their punishment was actually a fulfillment of what they wanted because of their tohu characteristic. We have another example in somewhat a different fashion. Much later in history, Rabbi Akiva, the greatest Talmudic sage, had 24,000 students, and they all perished within a few weeks between Passover and Shavuot. And that's why those few weeks are considered to be weeks of limited mourning. We don't have weddings. There were different customs as to exactly which time within that period, but within that period, there is a commemoration of the terrible tragedy that befell the students of Rabbi Akiva. What did they do wrong? So the Talmud says they didn't get along with each other. They didn't treat each other with respect. In Hasidic thought, we're taught, it's much more than that. These were not petty people. These were great and holy people. These were tohu people. These were people consumed with fire. And each one represented a different trait that distinguished him from the other. And they clashed. There was no way of balancing their own traits, and therefore they couldn't balance it with others. So we have a little bit of an understanding of the two personalities, the Tohu and the Tikkun. The Rebbe teaches us that Golus, Galut, exile, is the same thing. What is exile? Exile is not something that's inherently and totally negative. It manifests itself in a negative way. Exile is where there is tremendous amount of spiritual energy being generated by God, but we don't have the vessels. We don't have the means to contain that energy. And therefore, what happens, it manifests itself in a destructive way. It wreaks havoc on our system. The goal of redemption is not to destroy exile, to get rid of it, but to capture the light of exile, the light of the world of Tohu in the broad vessels of Tikkun, to fuse those two worlds. That's what going out of exile is all about. Going out of exile means to discover the true inner essence of what exile represents. It represents the most sublime spiritual energy, but to be able to access that energy in a safe and secure and balanced way. Those are two opposites. The Tohu is the revolutionary. The Tikkun is the very calm person who is very settled. To fuse the two is the ultimate goal of the Messianic age. as we are living now on the cusp of the Messianic Age, at the very last moments of exile, this surge of energy is becoming closer to being fully revealed. But because we're not yet there, we're still on the threshold, it manifests itself in destructive, discordant ways, and we have so many problems with our relationships. What is the cure for these problems? The cure is to be able to fuse the two worlds of Tohu and Tikkun. Now, how do we do that? So here again, the Rebbe tells us it's through the study of Torah. Torah, our sages tell us in the Talmud, corresponds to the third attribute. The first attribute is chesed, kindness. The second is gevura, judgment. The third is tiferet, beauty or harmony. It's the synthesizing power of Torah. Torah, being God's infinite wisdom, has the power to synthesize the light of Tohu, the light of the world of chaos, into the vessels of the world of Tikkun. If one studies Torah in a way that they absorb it because they do it with humility, so Torah becomes part of your personality, you then have the power to bring the two worlds together, to bring the contradictory traits and that you have within yourself, to create the real healthy balance without losing the energy of one level and without breaking the other. You bring the two together. And when you can bring the two together in ourselves, we can bring ourselves closer to our fellow. Because what distinguishes one person from another is that we each have different traits, different personality traits. No two people think alike. But we also possess the personality traits of the other. And we have a way of balancing within ourselves so we can then balance it with respect to others as well. That's the key to getting out of the state of exile, purifying ourselves from being this mitzora, this person whose inability to access the tohu in a safe way, and therefore they break out. We are breaking out with all these different conflicts, but this is the sign that we're ready for the day when we will be purified, because Mashiach will then end the process of synthesizing the two worlds of tohu, chaos, and the world of tikkun, the world of correction.
Thanks for listening to the Rabbi Greenberg Show.